Okay. Hello, everyone. Although I'm a physicist, I'm not going to talk about relativity right now, and nor Minkowski. We have a more down-to-earth approach or application for pulse holography, and Hans Bjelkhagen asked us to present that here in the hope that it will be inspiring to the community here. We've been developing a method for facial topometry using pulse holography at the CESAR Institute, or it's a foundation in Bonn, Germany. And it all came from a demand from maxillofacial surgeons. They said they like to plan their interventions, and they tried to digitize the patients, and with the methods they had at hand, with the line scanners or the other methods they used, white light scanners, and so they said, we don't recognize our patients anymore. Don't you have a better method at hand? And so we were looking around and came to the pulse holography. But let me show some, I would say, inspirational pictures for what they can do already. See this girl on the left side? She has a dysplasia on the maxilla, so it needs to be extended. It's not just an aesthetical question, but it's a functional question as well, since when she gets older, she will have troubles to eat, drink, and breathe. And so the whole maxilla needs to be extended. On the right side, you see the amazing result they get. The next one is even more difficult. It's what they call a bimax. So you need to cut away parts of the maxilla and extend the upper part of the jaw. So you get a real smooth appearance of the patient again. And the final aim is that with a good data set, the surgeon can plan the intervention in advance. He says, you know, if I set back the maxilla for 5 millimeters or 6 millimeters, how will my patient look like? And so in the end, they want to do simulations. If you cut away the bone, how will the soft tissue behave? And for this, you not only need the bone data from a CT, but you will need a very good surface data set. So that was the question we had, and it might be familiar to you that you can do portrait holograms, but for the topometry or metrology community, it was not that clear. So we needed a fast method, and you all already see that that asks for holography. So we do a two-step approach, and that you have to know in advance. So it's a pulsed hologram we do at first, with a very short exposure time of 20 or 35 nanoseconds, depending on the system we use. And then at the second stage, we do a reconstruction, optical reconstruction of the real image, and we digitize this. And that's where the tomography comes in. We digitize the real image slice by slice, and we can do the metrology on this digitized image. And the third part is then you have a complete volume, and then you do a surface extraction from this volume. So this is our second camera. We have a stationary system from Giola, and then we approached David to develop a mobile system. So together we designed a system, a mobile camera, with a YAC system. It's on the 532 nanometers. Doubled, and it's specified to 1 joule pulse energy, so it's quite a lot, but it can deliver 1.4, thanks for that. And it has quite a high coherence length, and we can easily set up the system in the field within 20 minutes once it's in the room. And what's very important to us is the whole system is eye safe. The capture is very easy. The patient sits in front of it. The black box you see there is a shutter. On the next image, you will see close-up on this one. And what you see is the overhead beam scheme. If I get an arrow here. So the reference beam is delivered over that little hole up here, goes through a first mirror to, over a second mirror up to the plate, and here on the two sides you have the illumination ports. Yeah, here you see it a bit better even on the illumination ports on the right and left side. And the first one shows this rolling shutter. So what it does, it has a curtain, rolls one time and exposes the hologram, the holographic blade for 50 milliseconds. So we can actually do holograms in daylight conditions. And we already did some studies with this, and David said it's probably a record. We did 50 holograms in one day or 50 portraits, and that was lying and sitting patients, and developed these. So we did invested quite some work with this. So this is our holographic system. We use standard Slavich plates and with the conventional processing with an SM6 and do the bleaching then. This is now the second step with the CW laser. We use a coherent for that, but that basically doesn't matter. The first thing is forming the conjugate, and then you get the real image. And then at this plane, that's where I said we do the tomography. You have before we used with the diffuser screen, and recorded that with the camera. But now we have a direct scanner in here, and it's about as quick as taking the pictures with the camera. And then this diffuser or the scanner, vice versa, is shifted through the real image via this linear positioning table. What would you get then? You have on this plane that we project on, you have the focused contour and the unfocused surroundings due to the point spread function. That's a normal thing. So we have to separate the focused from the unfocused information, and that's the third part, the surface reconstruction now. They gave me a little error for that. So here this is just this is a scan through this volume now. At first, you see, I'll replay it again. At first the slices are going from the front towards the back. So at first you see the tip of the nose being in focus, and then it goes over the eyes and to the cheek and back towards the ear region. So here you see the nose, and now the eyes are sharp. And okay, and what you can imagine right away is, here we see it. In each slice you have a very fine band of focused information, and the focal depth of our real image is well below a millimeter, so it's about 0.1 millimeter. That's what we 0.1 to 0.4 millimeter. That's what we found out. And now we have this image stack. And usually we take 250 or 500 images this depth. And then the idea is, you know that only when you go through this image stack on one line, there's only one point in focus, because you won't have any, the curves won't go behind each other. You won't have any occlusions. So that's a 2.5D approach. When you found that point, on the one hand side, you can say at which position it is, and we exactly know where it is, since we positioned it there. But the second thing is, you can retrieve the intensity at the point too. So you have the height information plus the texture information. It's the two things, and the texture information is in the real image. It's intrinsic, and it's not projected onto the surface like with photogrammetric methods or any alike. So when you combine these two, you have on the left side, you see the surface. That's just from snapshots from the left one from a Vermeer representation. That's just the surface, the surface model. The second one is the parallelly projected texture, which you overlay. And the third one, that's what you get. That's the textured 3D model. And these, you can these can be then used for the planning and documentation of the surgery. A second application that we had is to establish a soft tissue database, where that the study I hinted at before was had exactly that aim. We did young patients between 18 and 25, and did 25 of these. And the idea is we had two questions. The first one was how thick in forensics, when you find a skull, which you can't say who the person belongs to, because you want to know the appearance of this human being, what it once was, because you don't have any soft tissue anymore when you have a skull. So what their approach is, they plaster it on the skull, directly on the skull. And what we are trying to do is to establish a database of landmarks where you say you have the thicknesses of the soft tissue, and that in respect to gender, age, ethnic origin, body mass index, and so forth. And so there is efforts done already in that direction, but they had different approaches with ultrasonic devices, or at first they did it with needles, and so that's how we try it. And what you get then is an overlay. Here you see a transparent overlay of our surface over a segmented CT skull. The second question we had at this study was, what's the soft tissue shift between an upright person and a reclined person? So we did holograms, and I will later show you a picture of how we finally realized the reclined pictures. And what with our method, since we have the intrinsic texture, we can say exactly how much the shift is. And that is not only a volumetric difference, but that is really because you can follow skin pores. And so even though the difference between sitting and lying, that's what we saw in these investigations, is about 3 to 5 millimeters, the real shift in the cheek, for example, is 15 millimeters, because it goes back, the gravity really pulls it back a lot further than you would just judge by the differences in volume. Okay, here's another. That's another example where we did. We captured a black person because we weren't sure if our technology would be able to display or the black person would have enough reflectivity. But it showed that it worked extremely well, since there was it in fact had an extremely high contrast, because you had the reflections on the skin were very extremely bright, speckly, and the background was nonetheless very dark. So we could do an extremely good surface reconstruction of these models as well. What is the next one? Okay, here I show you a picture of the texture that we have, and that's as far as we pushed our scanning right now. That's as you can probably see, a detail of the nose and a nostril, and that is already an extracted texture from the real image, and you can see skin pores and substructures, and the scanning here is done with 40 micron. So you can imagine how big the textures already get here. And but this texture resolution is extremely important, especially when we're looking towards small children. One target patient for us is cleft intervention children, and especially for babies or young children, and these interventions are usually done within the first year of life. They won't stay still. You can't tell them, I'm doing a white light scan and please stay still for 1 second and now move on. Nobody was ever, except that you sedate them, and that's not indicated for that kind of thing. You can't capture the surface, and that's the way we succeeded, and that's especially that's our really specialty here. And the next one, there, yeah, you see how the process goes on. This is a in a 3D CAD program where we can import the surfaces then, and you already see the red and the blue. That's outlines of the lips and the clefts, and that's what you see here is that's our actual state of the art, and that's what we're working at. So I'm just gave you some snapshots of this. The next thing how we expanded, and that goes back to the reclined ones as well, is that we engaged mirrors in the portrait setup. So on here you see top view, and on the left and the right you see a mirror besides the patient in a 45-degree angle. So from the view of the holoplate, you see the patient and the reflection from the one side, and you can see that from the other side as well. On the left, you see, you know, that's the two mirrors standing on the right and the left of the patient. So you just see the chair on the bottom, and on left is that's our stationary system. That's not the mobile I showed you. And that's how what we get. You have a front view, you have a side view, or two side views, and then you can register these. And I'm coming towards the end already. And then you register these, and with this we were able to do 270 degrees topometry with one single shot. So obviously it messed up the fonts. But we can read that's the capture in reclined position. And here we did it the other way around. You position it 45 degrees over the patient, and the patient lies reclined in front of the camera. And I think I didn't even take the 2 minutes. That's already the summary. We can do, with the pulse holography, we can do topometry with an accuracy of 0.4 mil. The extremely short exposure time of 35 nanoseconds definitely does help to erase all movement artifacts. And yes, right now we're moving towards a completely digital method, but the results are not as far that we wanted to present it here. But I hope that was already some extension of the pulse holography. Thank you. Yes. It's basically over the contrast, but you can calculate the contrast in different ways, and you usually take an area of interest around the the point of interest there, and you see how big the modulation is, and the higher the modulation is, the more you will be in the focus, because out of focus the point spread function simply blurs everything. That's a simple approach, and you can modify this contrast measure, and that's what we did, and to enlarge the area of interest or make it smaller depending on how big the modulation is. So that's basically what we do, and that was a lot of development work as well to refine that.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.